Well, as we prepare to come to the Lord's table, let's look briefly into John 15, verse 4. I'll actually read verses 1 through 10, but focusing on a repeated word, especially in verse 4. It's Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to look into your word this morning. May it truly be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I pray for grace now, for illumination, that we would see you more clearly, to understand you better and live more according to your word by faith. Please keep me from error and direct your people in righteousness. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, it goes without saying that the key to the Christian life, the focal point of being a Christ follower, is Christ, right? Yet it is surprisingly easy to wander from him, to take our eyes off him and to put them on something or someone else. But today's text should be a comforting reminder to call us back, right? If we haven't already had the last 40 minutes here, right, of drawing our attention to the risen, exalted Lord, may we take this word with us in the days to come. So directing our attention to the repeated use of the word abide in this text. And I want to make two brief points. One is Jesus' claim around the word abide, and then his command regarding the word abide. So first, it's in verse 1. I am the true vine. That is his claim. He is the true vine. This would imply there are other vines, other non-true vines, other false imposter vines that are distinct from him. And pause for a moment to reflect on it later today. I think we can honestly say, yes, there are a lot of false vines, maybe that we have actively in our adulthood been engaged in, or in our thought life we have attached ourselves to those vines, or in our foolish youth and in a bad weekend, whatever, we have abided in those false vines. And we could broadly categorize those as idolatries, self-interests, personal fame, our property, our things, our possessions can draw us into a false vine. Personal relationships, even all these good things, when used wrongly, can be false vines. Adherence to political parties or campaigns, you know, different things can distract us from God, lead us away from this abiding in him. Each of those things calls out to us. It beckons us, promising, this is where it's at, right? This is where hope and joy and satisfaction and peace and popularity and whatever else might press our buttons to get us interested, it will call out to us. But in light of God's word, in light of the specific call here, this claim by Christ, we can answer, no, you're not a true vine. You are lying to me, right? We can rebuke those false claims. Mere enticements, they are, that lead to disappointment. Many of us have felt the deep and bitter disappointment of coming to realize that the things we thought were true, the things we thought would grant us satisfaction and peace and all the rest, were not that. They were empty. They were false. They were withered fruit, to press the analogy here of the fruit and the vine, bitter fruit at best, bland fruit at best, bitter fruit at worst, or maybe even worse than bitter fruit is poisonous fruit. That is the fact of the matter regarding all vines other than Jesus. So here, Jesus calls us to himself, claiming that he is the true vine that stands distinct, and all the imposters are revealed out there in comparison to him. So let us first know Jesus is the true vine. And second, his command as to how we are to regard and engage with him as the true vine, and it is that word abide, Greek meno, nine times in this part of the passage here, he repeats it over and over and over again, abide, abide, abide. Many other times, even in the New Testament, especially within the writings of John, so this gospel as well as his epistles, very prominent feature of his writing. It has the meaning of to tarry, right? To remain in a place or remain in a relationship here, to continue to be present, to hold fast, to keep hold of, to keep going in where you are. I believe this operates at two levels, others, but I'll highlight two. Of course, there is the obvious warning, the obvious command to not apostatize, right? If we're abiding in Christ, we're not going after other religious pursuits that would lead us astray unto catastrophe. So to renounce Christ would be the extreme example of not abiding in Christ. So in the name of God, Jesus, Lord, please bless every person here to not fail in that abiding. But the focus, I believe, of Jesus' admonition here is not so much the warning of apostasy as it is toward a more subtle error, thinking that we were saved by Jesus and knowing our future destiny is assured, but then creeping into, let me just try a little harder today, right? Let me make a little bit longer to-do list. Let me consult another book to improve my to-do list and see what I can do, and not walking in his grace by faith. Because as verse 4 informs us, we Christians cannot bear fruit unless we abide in Christ. Even the passage from Ephesians we read earlier about the good works that God prepared beforehand for us, yes, we recognize those are works from God, but we can't do those works, which we do need to do, without abiding in Christ. So that's in verse 4. We can't bear fruit without abiding. In verse 5, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Verses 7 and 8, if you abide in Jesus, you bear much fruit. So over and over and over again is the importance of this abiding, this continuing, this tarrying, this remaining, this ongoing relationship with him. And friends, I don't want to add something else to your to-do list, as if abiding is the 11th item to add, right? It's not that we have grocery shopping and a piano lesson and read five chapters and abide in Christ this week. No, abiding in Christ is all of those things, right? We grocery shop while abiding in Christ. We teach our children the ways of the Lord while abiding in Christ. We pray while abiding in Christ. We write a report for our boss while abiding in Christ. Everything we do, everything we are, everything prepared by the Lord for us to do in his name is best and only properly done while abiding in Christ. And what better time to practice this than as we come to the Lord's table? Our physical senses are going to see and taste the bread and the wine. Our spiritual senses need to be attuned to see and feed on Jesus. As it is written, and I quote here from John 6, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." So this is one way we abide in Christ. The bread and the wine are not Christ literally. They are physical objects that point to the spiritual reality. That reality, by faith, we feed in Jesus. By faith, we abide in him. So his claim that he is true, the true vine, his command to abide, and let me hear, by way of very brief conclusion, add a third C, a comfort. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is the true vine, and so he says to us who are true Christians, this is verse 9, "I have loved you, abide in my love." May that comfort us as we abide with him in partaking at this table. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what manner of love you have bestowed on us, that we should be called children, your children. And elsewhere you say, if we're children, we're heirs, joint heirs with Christ. This is extraordinary. Please give us faith to understand these deep truths and to grow in them. There are so many temptations that seek to pull us away, but your promise is true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not persecution, not hunger or economic hardship or grueling work schedules or sleepless nights or social media or any other created thing. Lord, your promise is that nothing can separate us from Jesus, that by your grace we will be with him. We will abide in Christ. It's in Jesus' name I pray this blessing on your people. Amen.